Well, listen, I'm convinced that the Lord is beginning. I mean, have you ever watched a chicken egg hatch? I've seen a few duck eggs and goose eggs. They always start with just a little crack. Just a little crack begins to develop. And the more, man, it's almost like the more desperate what's inside that is wanting to be birthed, the more desperate it becomes to come out, the more the egg begins to crack and the more violently it seems to chip away at its containment until all of a sudden it's set free. And I feel like in my spirit that that's what's happening right now in the spiritual realm here in the church. Is that revival is just about, it's starting to crack. And the Holy Spirit wants to get out into all the world. People are beginning to pay attention, not necessarily to what I'm saying, but to what the Lord is saying, maybe through me. And as I look back to our last notes in John chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, "And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." How many of you have ever just been filled with joy? Huh? I mean, just joy. Mike talked about it a little bit on Sunday when we were all laying in bed and it was nighttime and we're trying to go to bed and this other group went by and we had just experienced a fantastic move of God and the presence of God in our meeting there at the men's retreat and we were just so full of the joy of the Lord and all that. I mean, and when those guys went by and were yakking and carrying on and being loud and talk, they just came from the same place, man. And when Mike hollered at them, he didn't holler at them, he just let out this blast. And they instantly, it was dead silent until I couldn't contain it anymore. And I just busted up laughing. And I mean, that feeling that of absolute, I mean, it was an explosion in our room of joy. It wasn't anything that was done out of maliciousness. It wasn't done out of being nasty or any. It just erupted, and I couldn't quit laughing. Those of you that were in our room that night would know that I just couldn't quit laughing. But joy is what we need to take to the world, because listen, the world is sad. The world is sad. The world is depressed. And we have within us the joy of the Lord. Amen. And I was told tonight that, you know, it's always for the preacher, it's always a great encouragement when people take what you say and apply it in a physical sense. And if you remember right, on Sunday I was talking about the reality that the front window, your windshield, is much, much bigger than the rear view mirror, because the things that are going on ahead of us are so much more important than what's behind us. And I was told that on the way home from church on Sunday morning, a certain individual stopped by the Napa store and bought a gallon jar of windshield washer fluid and two sets of new windshield wiper blades for his automobile. Because he wanted to make sure that his visibility out the front window was not obstructed by dirt. And the guy in the store said, "Why in the world are you buying two sets of windshield wiper blades?" And he said, "Because I want to be prepared and I want to make sure that my windshield is clean so that I can see where I'm going opposed to where I've been." Now listen. That might sound like the craziest thing you've heard all week, but I'm telling you, there are spiritual ramifications and implications behind that that are way bigger than any of us in here recognize and realize. See, Jesus doesn't call you and I as Christians to some dull existence of being hated by the world by obeying a bunch of commands and waiting to just to get to heaven. Listen, we ought to be having a good time right here. I cannot imagine going into a Napa auto parts store and telling somebody about wiper blades and windshield washer fluid because they want to be able, because the preacher said to, well, what preacher is that? Huh? Jesus said in this verse of scripture that he offers us the fullness of joy. I mean, your joy ought to bubble up inside of you and splash out. Nothing else in all the world can bring the joy that we find in serving and abiding in and in obeying Christ. Things that when things are going well, we feel elated. We love that. It's great. But when hardships come, too often as Christians, we plunge into this deep, dark depression. I got a question. Why is it that we plunge into that depths of despair when Jesus is our Savior? We spend too much time looking maybe in that rearview mirror. True joy, folks. How many of you know tonight that there's a difference between happiness and joy? Amen. There's a stark difference between happiness and joy. Most often, happiness comes because of things, because of stuff, because of some event. Joy comes from something down inside of you and I that happiness can't overrule, that sadness can't overrule, that depression can't overrule. When I've got the joy of the Lord inside of me, see, joy, true joy transcends the rolling waves of circumstance. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus. Listen, if you'll spend time with Jesus, if you'll walk with Jesus, if you'll get in God's Word and begin to read God's Word. Well, preacher, I tried reading God's Word. I don't understand it. It don't make any sense to me. I don't care whether you understand it or whether it makes sense to you. Read it. Read it. I don't understand every meal that my wife has ever prepared for me, but I promise you, it has made an impact. I'll do the preaching. I am a well-rounded, full gospel brother. Amen. But do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that God isn't going to bring it up and use it and instruct you and teach you. If you think I understand all that there is in God's Word, you're sadly mistaken. I don't understand it, but I know one thing. If I'll put it in when he needs to pull it out, it'll be in the account for him to draw from. Amen. True joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus. And when our lives are intertwined with his, he will help keep us, help us walk through adversity without sinking into debilitating lows and managing prosperity without moving into deceptive highs. There's an old country song out there that says, if you're going through hell, keep on going. You might get through it before the devil even knows you were there. What? That's a pretty fast walk. The joy, folks, of living with Christ daily will keep us level-headed. It will keep us level-headed. Doesn't make any difference how high or how low the circumstances. When we walk with Jesus, He will keep us on the straight and narrow. He will keep us on the level. Let's move on. We've been looking at the blessings of God on His worshipers, and as we continue to worship, and as we continue to press in, and as we continue to seek God with our whole heart, we're going to begin to see some things. And one of the blessings that God puts on His worshipers is to answer the prayers of those who pray to Him in sincere faith. I believe I'm a faith guy. I'm a faith preacher. I'm a faith declarer. I'm a faith walker. I'm a faith talker. I'm all that kind of stuff. However, I'm not name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. I'm not name it and claim it. I'm not blab it and grab it. I'm talking about the realistic things that we are to believe by faith that God said in His Word are ours. God said that His desire is that the world would come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. God said in His Word that He sent His only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. He sent us, you and I, to be the mouthpiece for Jesus and for God and for the Holy Ghost in this world. Matthew chapter 28 declares that He has sent us into the world to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And a guy came to me one time in when we was preaching in Utah, and he said, Pastor, he said, I can't come to your baptismal services because you always baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and you should only be baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. And I said, well then why in Matthew chapter 28 does it say to go out and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? No, but I didn't quit saying it either. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Listen, it ain't my job to reach the lost. And the church said amen. My job is to equip you for the work of ministry. That doesn't exclude me from talking to people and reaching people with the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's my job to equip you. That's what I'm trying to do. See, He wants for us, one of His blessings is to answer the prayer of those who pray to Him in sincere faith. Listen. If we don't believe that what we're praying for by faith we're going to receive, we ought to just shut up. We're wasting good air. I can't tell you how many things I've prayed for, Brother Vern, that I've not seen come to pass. But I ain't quit praying. And Ron, I'm not going to quit praying. I'm going to keep praying. People are going to keep coming. They're going to keep being sick. I'm going to keep laying hands on them. And I'm going to keep believing. By faith, because I believe. Listen, the guy that when they tore the roof off the house and let their buddy down in front of Jesus, it was not his faith that healed him. It was their faith. So we have to pray in sincere faith. In fact, in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, therefore, when you see the word therefore, it's there for a reason. Amen. What you're about to read is there for a reason. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen? I mean, that's God's word. That ain't me. That's just what God said in His word. God will answer your prayer, but not as a result of your positive mental attitude. I can't tell you how rich some men are from authoring books about your positive mental attitude. You're not going to get prayers answered on a spiritual level from the heavenly realm because of your positive mental attitude. There's some other conditions that must be met. Number one, you must be a believer. You must be a believer. In fact, the only prayer that the Lord honors from a non-believer is, Lord, forgive me, come into my heart, and make me new. Amen. That's the only prayer. You must be a believer. Number two, and folks, here's the reality. Y'all ain't going to like some of these. You're just not. But I have to declare it because I'm going to speak the truth in love. Number one, you must be a believer. Number two, you must not hold a grudge against another person. Man, that's a tough one, Ron, isn't it? Huh? I thought I saw something in there, but maybe not. You must not hold a grudge against another person. Listen, it's so easy to carry a grudge. But if you want your prayers answered, you better deal with the grudge. You have to deal with that block because that will become a blockage to your prayer. I can't tell you how many times that my wife and I have had to talk to one another about our attitude toward one another. Woo, the preacher's telling tales. No, that's not the case. But we have learned in our relationship and in our marriage that if we don't talk about stuff, if we let stuff fester, if we keep stuff hidden and down and not discussed and not resolved, it will be a hindrance to our prayers getting answered. So you must not hold a grudge against another person. Number one, you must be a believer. Number two, you must not hold a grudge against another person. And number three, you know when you're selfish? No, not you, not you. I'm talking about me. Because I can be selfish. I'll tell you how selfish I can be. When I was a kid, my dad would give us money, each one of us kids, to go and buy a present for my sisters or for family members. And I would always go and buy them the cheapest, chintziest thing that I could find. And then all the rest of the money that was left, yeah, I bought me something good. I couldn't trust them to do it. I had to do it. It's called being selfish. Number three, you must not pray with selfish motives. You can just wear that ever how you want to. But the reality is, oftentimes, at least in my opinion, at least in my experience, let me say it this way, I have prayed many, many times with selfish motives. And I'm trying to change and get self out of the way. Because when self is in the way, that becomes another hindrance. Number one, you must be a believer. Number two, you must not hold a grudge against another person. Number three, you must not pray with selfish motives. And number four, This will make you think about how you pray. Number four, your request must be for the good of God's kingdom. If you want to see your prayers answered, begin to pray in line with promoting God's kingdom. When we all begin to pray in a way that's going to promote the good of God's kingdom, we are going to begin to see some change. We're going to begin to see revival. To pray effectively, though, you need faith in God, not faith in the object of your request. Faith in God, not faith in the object of our request. If you focus only on your request, you'll be left with nothing if your request is refused. Did you hear what I just said? If you focus only on your request, you will be left with nothing if your request is refused. In other words, when you're praying, for an example, Doyla had all the faith in the world that she was going to be healed. Her daughters had all the faith in the world that she was, that their mom was going to be healed. Her husband had all the faith in the world that that she was going to be healed, but God took her home. Can I tell you, she's absolutely 100% healed tonight. And they're not running away from God. They're now running towards God, because whether or not she got healed here in the physical is not the only thing that they were looking for. Does that make any sense at all? Because if we don't get our prayer answered in the natural, and we get our tail in a knot and get all bent out of shape and run off out of church because God didn't answer my prayer or whatever the case may be, then you have nothing because your request was refused. Listen, God, I don't know why you don't answer them prayers sometimes. All I know is I'm going to keep praying just like I said I'm going to. I'm going to keep laying hands on people, and I'm going to keep believing, because I can show you in God's Word where it says my job is to call for, your job is to call for the elders. Our job is to anoint them with oil, lay our hands on them, and pray the prayer of faith. That's where our responsibility stops. It now becomes God's responsibility to heal or to not to heal, to provide or not to provide. Jesus, our example, prayed in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. And he said, Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Let me ask you this question. Who is the most unlikely... Who is the most unlikely candidate that you have ever known to not get their prayer answered? Jesus Christ Himself. If you're all bent out of shape because your prayer didn't get answered, get behind Jesus. Because Jesus didn't get His prayer answered either. He prayed, God, if there's any way. He said, listen, Father, all things are possible for you. God, Jesus is the Son of God. He knows the Father, and He declares everything, all things, no matter what, is possible for you. Prayer, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. His prayer, God said no to His prayer. But the point is, the prayer was made. The prayer was made. And God said no to the prayer. But Jesus said, and you're right, not my will, but your will. How much better off maybe would we be if we added that into our prayers? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. But see, as I was studying for this, And I read through that, and we're talking about getting the things that we ask for when we pray. And when I read this verse of Scripture, it just hit me like a tube of six right in the face. Just pow. Jesus prayed to God, and God said no. And I went right in the kitchen, and I told Tammy, I said, hey, Who's the most unlikely person to not get their prayer answered? Just kind of sat there like that. Named off a few names. Because we don't think about that. He's the Son of God. Every prayer He prays gets answered. No, not so much. Yeah, it got answered. It wasn't yes. See, and that's the problem. We all think that, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Yeah, He did. He just said no. And maybe... Listen, sister. Maybe it's not right now. Our prayers are often motivated by our own interests and desires. We like to hear that we can have anything. That falls under the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it mentality. Jesus prayed with God's interests in mind. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And we understand that the covenant that was established in the days of old, we call it the old covenant. The old covenant was established through what? Through blood. Blood of animals. Animals that were not willing to die. They weren't out in the barnyard going, hey, pick me, pick me. Jesus Christ came to establish a new, the Bible says, and better covenant. Why is it new? Why is it better? It's new because it's established through the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus was shed one time for all time. Amen. So it's a much better covenant. But when he prayed with the interests of God in mind. And when we pray, we can express our desire, but we should want His will above our will. And that's a hard way for us sometimes as flesh folk to understand and to pray for that thing. What should we pray about, by the way? Let me just throw that out there. What should we pray about? Pardon me? Everything? Everything. So, all things? What if I want a new car? I'll do the preaching. What if I still want it? Would you let me do the preaching? You people are killing me, man. We should pray for everything, but we don't pray for everything. We're like, no, I've got the finances for this. There's no reason why I can't. So let me just... And then we're in trouble. Don't sit over there and say, huh? All right, moving along. I don't know why I even brought that up. When we pray, we can't express our desires, but we really should want God's will above ours. We need to check ourselves to see if our prayers really focus on my interests or God's interests. Am I promoting my kingdom or am I promoting His kingdom? I might as well just go ahead and say it, being that I got this far. How much more money and I'm leaving all y'all out of it, how much more money would I have if I bought the things God wanted me to buy versus the things I wanted to buy? Oh, I'm thinking I probably would. I'm going to go out on a limb here. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up, because I'm already guilty. Listen, if this is applying to anybody besides me, go ahead and just receive it. Prayer is not an emergency measure that we turn to when we have a problem. Real prayer is a part of our constant communion with God and our worship to God. Again, this Bible study that we've been going through for months now, when I titled it, it was a Bible study on worship. And I think I titled it Worship More Than Just Singing. And we've looked at all the different aspects of worship and what all it involves in the offerings and in our tithes and in giving and in service to one another. And yes, singing and being prostrated out before the Lord. Prayer's not some emergency measure that we use when we turn to God when we have a problem. It's just another way. People tell me all the time, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Well, it could be said that you just were praying to me. Because prayer is really nothing more than communication between us and God. And if you can communicate to me, you can communicate to God. Amen. By the way, we should not interpret Mark 11:24 to mean that if I pray hard enough and really believe, then God is obligated by some way to answer your prayer no matter what it is that you ask. And if you're looking for Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. It is not saying if you pray hard enough and really believe that God is obligated. He is not obligated. Remember, He is God. How many of you are grateful that God, in hindsight, in looking in the rearview mirror, how many of you can look in that rearview mirror and say, you know what, God, thank you that you did not answer that prayer. That we were dead set, that we needed Him. Oh, God, you got to answer that prayer. Oh, God. And we... No. And now we're down the road a couple miles, and we can look back and say, ooh, dodged one there. The hand of God is on us. That kind of faith is not faith in God. The reality is it's nothing but faith in faith or faith in feelings. It's nothing but faith in faith or faith in feelings. True faith in God is based on His Word. What did Jesus do? Ooh. Say that again, right out loud, just like you mean it. What did Jesus do? He did only what the Father told Him to do. I could ask this question, but I'm not going to. I could ask the question, could any of us say that? What could we? Where would we have to say, I blew it because I'm way ahead, I'm way ahead of that? True faith in God is based on His Word, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 7, and John chapter 15 rather in verse 7, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And the reality is His Word reveals His will to us. It has been well said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done here on earth. That must be the motivation for our prayer. God, there's things I pray for. There's things that I want. There's things that I desire. There's all this kind of stuff. I got a wish list 10 miles long. But God, at the end of the day, Lord, I just want Your will to be done in my life. God, I want to be used for Your glory and for Your honor right here in this place. That's the way we ought to be praying, folks. In James chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." That's God's word. Not the elders. Not the oil. It is the Lord Himself that does the healing. I mean, I got all kind of different oil up here. I mean, I got all kinds of it. I'll never forget one time I had a little old gal, Darlene was her name, and she was laying in a hospital bed in St. George, Utah, and they were a part of our church, and I went to pray for her. She was having heart surgery, and I went to pray for her, and I probably told this story here before, but I pulled out my little bottle of anointing oil. And we had a little talk, and I always just make the sign of the cross on their forehead, you know, when I did that with her. And we prayed and stuff. And when we got done praying, of course, we had our eyes closed because, you know, you have to have your eyes closed if you're really anointed. You got to pray with your eyes closed if you really want it answered. Just saying. It's in there somewhere. And when we opened our eyes, that the anointing oil that I had like lots of the spice and cinnamon and stuff like that in it, and it had literally burned a cross on her forehead. I mean, it was red, like scarlet red. I mean, it was like, and her husband was there, and he opened his eyes and saw that cross on her forehead, and I thought he was going to jump out the window. Because he was freaking out. It's a miracle. I mean, he was just going crazy. She's healed. No, I mean, he's having a party, man. It wasn't the oil. I mean, it was, but do you see what I'm saying? We put our faith in some crazy stuff sometimes. But God can use those kinds of things to build our faith. Because I promise you, when she rolled out of that room to go to surgery, his hopes was this high. I mean, his faith was huge because I had inadvertently, on purpose, made a cross. But the stuff that I used, like, it was like illuminated. But it did something for his faith. Amen. So it's not the elders, it's not the oil, it's the Lord that does the healing. So does this mean that every prayer for healing guarantees that God will make the sick person well? No. That's crazy. Jesus Himself let people die. Didn't He? Lazarus been in there 4 days. Oh, she stinketh. He stinketh, man. Don't go in there. Okay, I won't. Lazarus, come here. And he did. It has to be emphasized here that the prayer offered, is a prayer offered in faith. Not only the faith that believes that God can heal, but listen, also the faith that expresses an absolute confidence in God's will. I prayed. We had a little lady in our church in St. George, and she had brain cancer. And I've never in all my days seen somebody with more of a positive mental attitude, more of a determined faith. Every nurse that came into her room, every orderly that came into her room, every doctor that came into her room, everybody she bumped into on the halls, she told them, listen, I am gonna be healed. God's not done with me. I am gonna be healed because God has work for me to do and all this stuff. And we drove all the way to Salt Lake to pray for her and stuff and be there for the surgery. And you know what happened? She died. She died. And that was in about 2003, and her story is still being told. And she is healed. And I had a person ask me, why do you pray like that? What if she doesn't get healed? I said, I got news for you. She's going to get healed. She is going to be healed, whether it's here and now or there and then. She absolutely will be healed, absolutely, completely restored. No cancer can stop that. Well, aren't you building some kind of false hope in her family? No. Her family knows the same thing. Her story is still being told. It still bolsters my faith. That it was, she was facing absolute death. God ain't done with me. And He's still not done with her because her story is still being told. She shared, who knows what that did? Who knows what has happened because of the words that she spoke in the hallways and the rooms in that hospital? See, a true prayer of faith will acknowledge God's sovereignty in His answer to that prayer. A true prayer of faith will acknowledge God's sovereignty in His answer to that prayer. Jesus proved it when He said, listen, God, I know You're able to do everything. There ain't nothing You can't do, Father. But listen, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, Your will be done. Jesus exemplified this. A true prayer of faith acknowledges, listen, it's Your deal, God. I'm just Your son. I'm the sacrifice. It's Your sovereignty in the answer to that prayer. It's not always God's will to heal those who are ill. It is not always God's will to heal those who are sick. Do you understand that? Bad things happen to good people. I don't have the answer for it. I can't stand here and tell you why. I can't tell you why some of the worst heathens in all the world have got money running out their ears. And people that are doing God's work, doing God's will, striving so hard to be used of God are in the physical realm poor as paupers. I don't understand that. All I know is God said in His Word that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to stop right there. When we come back next... when we come back next week, we're gonna look at what is one of my favorite ways that God blesses His worshipers. Remember, we're talking about worship, and this is kind of a little subcategory that we're talking about the ways that God blesses His worshipers. And this is absolutely one of my favorite ones, and it is to freshly fill His people with His Holy Spirit and boldness. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I don't need to get refilled with the Holy Spirit. I got filled back in, whatever. Let me tell you something, man. You need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. And I'm telling you, get filled up every time you get the opportunity to get a brand new fresh anointing, a brand new dose of the Holy Ghost. I mean to be able to walk by faith and not by sight, because that's what we're doing as a church, right? We're by faith we're seeing a new building out there. We're not walking because we know know that we have the money for it. We got a good start on it, yeah. But God, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And if the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, He can send some of it in any time He wants. He can take some of them cattle and sell them at an auction any time He wants. And so by faith, as a congregation and as a body, we see a new building right out there. That pink wheel on top of that burnt wheel out there, that's about the center of the building. It's going to look like that over there on the wall, kind of like. It's going to be an exciting thing when we get a backhoe in here and stick the grousers of that thing in the dirt and begin to rake and begin to tear. Because once we start that, there ain't no turning back. Amen. What a day that is going to be. Amen. And listen, I don't want for our attitude to be that we're anything at all other than building a hospital for the hurting. A salvation station, if you will. A place where the unsaved can come and without feeling, unworthy to come into the place. It's going to be nice, but it ain't going to be fancy nice. It's going to be inviting. It's not going to look like some Taj Mahal on the inside. It's going to look like some place that you could bring anybody you want to bring, and they would feel like they would be okay in that place. Amen. People tell me all the time, I can't go to church. The roof would cave in. I said, not in our building. Man, we got the biggest beams in that thing you ever seen. It is not going to fall in. Besides that, I'm in here and it didn't fall in. Amen. You getting anything out of this, folks? I hope you are, because there's other things we could do on Wednesday night besides sitting here if we're not getting something. My job, again, is to impart God's Word into your life and to encourage you and to build you up in the most holy faith and send you out these doors to take the message to the world. There are hurting people out there. There are people that once were in church and have been hurt. They've backslidden. This city's full of them. You have us. There's a bunch of us that have sons and daughters. It's exactly what I'm talking about, Mary. Right. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous because he's isolated. The enemy has isolated him. And Jesus said, I'll go after I'll leave the 99 and go after the one. Amen. So Lord, tonight we just thank you for your goodness. Father God, I'm so grateful for the saving grace that you have bestowed upon me. Lord, I thank you so much. I don't deserve to be a pastor. I don't deserve to even stand behind your sacred desk. But Father God, you called me and you didn't make a mistake when you did. I'm the one that's made the mistakes. I'm the one that's blown it. God, you didn't blow it. You didn't make the mistake. And God, as long as you give me strength, as long as you give me voice, as long as you give me the ability to stand in this pulpit, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to provoke your people, God, to go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and to tell the world about a man named Jesus who died and that they haven't been too bad yet, that God can't save them, that everybody is able to be saved regardless of what they've done. Lord, I pray your anointing on every person in this house tonight. And I pray, God, that for everyone watching by way of the internet tonight, Lord, that you would send them out with the message that you will forgive them, you will save them, you will set them free, you will be all that they need to be, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and abide inside of them, and Lord, your Holy Spirit would well up within them, and they would be able to boldly speak forth the truth of the Word of God, and by doing so, set people free for your glory and for your honor. And so, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for all these things, God. I pray your Holy Spirit working right now all through the city, God, that on the hearts of the lives of people from the north and the south, the east and the west, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to begin to draw them, Lord. And as we come together on Sunday and worship you, Lord, that you will begin to just draw them into this place, that this house will be filled to overflowing with people hungry for the things of God. And for that, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet. I pray you were blessed. We'll see you later.